you so much for your word and for the many riches that are in your word. And as I speak, as we listen, and may your Holy Spirit be at work, opening our hearts to hear your word in a deeper way and to take away riches with us today that will bless us and bless the people around us. And so we give you this sermon time in the name of Jesus. So we're looking at the parable of the net, or what's called fish, the parable of the net. But just to sort of do a quick recap, we talked about how parables are a short story with a big truth. And we looked at the parable of the wheat and the weeds last week. And we said Jesus had spoken about how the wheat is the people of the kingdom, people who follow Jesus. The weeds that look very similar when they're growing, these are false wheat, they are people outside of the kingdom. And Jesus says at the end of the age, the wheat will be blessed and the weeds will be burnt. We also spoke, using some words from Paul in Corinthians, how as Christians we have a responsibility after we receive Jesus to build our lives well. Paul talks about Jesus being the foundation that we build on. We spoke about how the passage on judgment is quite challenging to us. And so because it's challenging, people have all kinds of ways to try and explain it away. But I read this week, and it was something interesting. It was talking about you can't have a relationship without challenge. Did you know that? If someone just says yes to everything you want, they're like a robot, do this, yes. You do not have a relationship with them. You can only have true intimacy with challenge. So to have a true relationship, someone has to be able to challenge you or to contradict you. And if we pick and choose what we want to believe and what we don't want to believe, then all we actually have is a relationship with ourselves, with a dead God, perhaps, of our own making. We do not have a relationship with the living God. And Ricky gave me this book. It's A Year with Timothy Keller. He died last year, and it's a compilation of little thoughts for the day from all of his books. And he says this, very challenging. Only if your God can say things that outrage you and make you struggle, as in a real friendship or marriage, will you know that you've got hold of the real God and not a figment of your own imagination. An authoritative Bible, he says, is not the enemy of a personal relationship with God. It is the precondition for it. Let me say that again. An authoritative Bible is not the enemy of a personal relationship with God. It is the precondition for it. And I hope we all struggle with these things about judgment. It makes us uncomfortable. But if we struggle with it, it actually ends up deepening our relationship with the living God. Hopefully you can see that in nice clear colors. In 2023, Jordan and I and Ricky, we went to Sierra Leone, and we were on a beach one day, and we saw all these people. They put this big net out around the bay. They had these boats, and they just gradually put this big net out in a big circle, and then for about 2 hours, the whole village was just pulling this net in, and this is a drag net, and they just pulled it in, and they sort of sang as they did, and they were just pulling this net in. And then they eventually pulled it up onto the shore, and it had caught all kinds of fish. I even saw a puffer fish in there. There was some plastic in there. There were some weeds in there. But it caught all kinds of fish. And then the fish got sorted. And so we saw them find some big fish. And those big fish got rushed off to some hotels where they would go on the menu. The very smallest fish, got given to the poor, and they took it away, so everyone in the village was helping to sort this fish, and the poor were taking away these little fish. And then the sort of rubbishy fish, like the puffer fish, the other weeds and bits and pieces, they just got thrown back into the sea. And there were also a few birds that were coming to sort of grab the fish. And so this is really what our parable is about today. It's about a net that was put out and it caught all kinds of fish. And one of the things I love about my international training is I get to experience the Bible as I go there, because perhaps people are less developed than us in terms of nice houses and the way the communities work. It works much more like in the Bible times. And I remember one of our last trainings, a lot of children suddenly arrived and they were making a lot of noise on the front here. And the local trainers told them, "Get out!" And I thought about Jesus, who said, "Hey, let the children stay," you know, when the disciples tried to throw them out. So I get to sort of experience the parables. It's interesting that Jesus' parables are often told in pairs. And so he tells this parable, and it's paired with the parable of the wheat and the weeds. The wheat and the weeds is very much about looking at our present situation. We see people out there, we don't know whether they're part of the kingdom, we don't know whether they're outside the kingdom, they look alike. Only God will know at the end of time. The parable of the net is about all kinds of fish being caught within the kingdom, and it's about the future separation of believers and unbelievers. In the Bible, well, in the Gospels, let's put it this way, there's different types of fishing. There's a hook. So we read about Peter goes and casts a hook and he catches a fish and he finds some money because Jesus has to pay his taxes. And he says, "Go and catch a fish, open its mouth." And what does Peter find in there? His tax money. I wish that was easy as that for me. But they also had cast nets. And so Jesus talks about casting your net on the other side. But then you also have dragnets. And in the Greek, this is a very large net. So Jesus said they put out this very large net. This was a dragnet that they put out. And they put it out and they pulled it to shore and it caught all kinds of fish and they were sorted by the fishermen and the good fish were kept and the bad fish were thrown away. You know, we know that they weren't Japanese because they probably would have kept all the fish and eaten them. They were highly poisonous. And the angels, it says, come and they separate the evil from the righteous, and the evil are thrown into the fiery furnace. Last week, Douglas, you know, we were talking about it afterwards, and he was said, "Well, does this refer to the church, or does this refer to the world in general?" And so I did a sort of bit of digging around, and there's some commentaries, they say both of these parables refers just to the church, where believers and unbelievers are mixed together, and then only Jesus will know at the end of time. Others say, and this is probably where I would tend towards, in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, Jesus is very clear in Greek that he's talking about the world at large. And so it's probably the world in general. But in this parable, he's talking about the kingdom net catches all kinds of fish, and then God sorts them out. And so in a church, for example, like this church or other churches, you're going to have true believers. You're going to have people who are just good churchgoers or good people or cultural Christians. And Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so that's a warning for us to sort of think, well, do I really know Jesus? And am I his follower? I have a book that I've been following on the parables, and Terry Johnson says this about the net. He says, "Jesus is providing a picture of Christian mission. We are dragging the net into which all manner of people are caught." So I want us to look for the next few minutes at this idea that this is a picture of Christian mission. Very simple points. We are called to fish for people. So Jesus says, "Come and follow me, and I will send you out and make you fishers of men, or I will send you out to fish for people. In Matthew's gospel, right at the end, Jesus says to the disciples, I believe he says to all disciples and followers throughout the ages, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize people and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. That is the great commission to go. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Fire Starter movement. That's a movement within the Baptist churches that are looking, what are some of the keys for revival in churches? And one of the keys for revival is the gospel should be simply told. And what they mean by that is you keep the gospel central in your church and in the proclamation of the word. And so everything reflects on the gospel. And so the gospel is clearly presented on a regular basis in the church. It doesn't mean in the old-fashioned style where at the end of every sermon I present the gospel and I invite people to come forward and receive Jesus. But it means that we are always reflecting upon Christ and his gospel as we speak. And so we want to speak in a way to believers that engages seekers. But then sometimes we'll have times, perhaps like the seminar on forgiveness, we want to speak to seekers in a way that can edify believers. We're called to fish for all kinds of people. There are about 24 different species of fish in Lake Galilee. And I think in the context, because the people who were listening, they were mixed, some of them were religious leaders, but there were a lot of people of many different sorts that were coming to Jesus. And so in the Gospels, we see the poor were coming, the possessed were coming, prostitutes were coming, some priests were coming, sinners, tax collectors, Samaritans, Gentiles, women were coming, people who were fearful were coming, those who had sort of fallen away were coming, doubters were coming. And even John talked about the Ethiopian eunuch that reminded us that the sterile were coming and that God had said in the Old Testament, the sterile aren't, you know, accepted in my house. But this is a reminder that through Christ, everybody is accepted. And so the net catches all kinds of people. And Paul says, you know, and this probably applies to some of myself and some of us here, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And so everyone is invited. Everyone. So the gospel is for everyone. And we are to spread our net as wide and as deep as we can. And we used to use this little saying in our church, maybe it's a good one for Datchet Baptist Church, that we want this to be a place where people feel they can belong before they believe. So people can come and they can be part of our community and they can investigate Jesus, but they find a place of belonging here. Thirdly, we're called to work the net together. If you remember, the whole village gathered to pull in the net, and that's part of the drag net. You don't do it by yourself. You need a sort of team of people to pull in the net. And we, in our training, when we go overseas, we talk in our fourth training about church planting from the book of Acts. And we actually talk about the parable of the net. And so this is what we talk about. We say that the strands of the net, all the little strands, they are like us. They are our lives. And where our lives intersect with others and relationships, they form the net. So the net is made up of the intersection of lives. And it's all about our love for one another. It's about our relationships. It's about having small groups, these little intersections of lives. We say that the ropes are like the leadership that give the net structure. And so the leadership, they anchor the net. They give the net structure and direction. We talk about the weights that take the net deep. The weights are like those activities or the people who take the message of Jesus to the margins. They're the ones who are pushing it out in a missional way. And so thinking about the forgiveness seminar, that would be something that we're pushing the net a little bit deeper. And we're saying, well, there's people out there who obviously struggle with forgiveness, and we want to sort of reach those people and show them, actually, we have something really sensible to say, that in the gospel is found all the power that you need to forgive others. And so we're pushing it out a little bit. The floats, those are things that are visible. So you see the floats on top of the water. And these are the activities in the church which give us visibility in the community. These are events like our services, other events. These are publicity, like John's posters. These are like the floats. We put it out there and people get to see, ooh, Datchet Baptist Church, there's something going on there. It's giving us visibility. And then I put here that the missional net is best linked with other missional nets in the city. And so we work together, for example, as a cluster with other Baptist churches. In a way, we're putting our net wide across this area. And so that's this idea that we work together to form the net that will then gather people into the kingdom for God. Fourthly, and very importantly, we are not called to sort the fish. It is God's responsibility to sort the fish. This is what Jesus says. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. We talk about this in the Apostles' Creed, and this is from 2 Timothy 4:1. Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. And so our job is to fish. God's job is to sort the fish. I have to say, just as a sort of a little addition, though, every parable is not perfect. It doesn't perfectly describe reality. And so Paul does say that as churches, especially as leadership, we have to be wise. You know, we're trying to catch as many sort of different people and bring them into the, and get them, have them know Jesus. But we're to be wise to identify people within the church, perhaps, who would damage the church by heresy, or they're committing some kind of grievous sin. Those who would seek to divide the church as well. So Paul talks about that, to be alert for those type of people. But then again, we're not called to be harsh, but we have to gently, wisely, I believe, in plural leadership, so we don't go it alone, but we sort of discuss it together, the best way forward, to be very sort of, you know, careful to protect what we have here. But essentially, we're called to catch all types of people. We're not called to judge the deeper motives of people's heart. Only God knows that. The only heart that we can really judge is our own. We need to ask, you know, am I part of this kingdom? So I thought just to sort of end up with making it very practical, because it's about a net catching fish. And so I talked about fishing practices. And if you think about fishing, it actually has sort of a strong analogy to reaching out to others. And so the first thing is we are to pray. And I think a lot of fishermen, people who go fishing, they're actually quite religious, because they always say, Lord, give me a big fish. You know, help me catch a big one. And I like this little prayer. It says, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the size of fish I catch, the courage not to fib about it, and the wisdom to know that no one will believe me anyway. That's a prayer, a fisherman's prayer. But Paul says in Romans 10 verse 1, he's talking about his desire to see the Jews come to Jesus. He says, my brothers, my heart's desire, my prayer to God is that they may be saved. And so Paul is praying for people's salvation. And I think we're people who are supposed to be praying for a passion for lost people. I'm praying that. You know, you get older and get a little bit more cynical perhaps, but I'm praying, Lord, revive my passion. Just help me see that people are lost without you. They're really lost. Help me to have passion for that. But we're also supposed to pray for the salvation of the lost. And I know it's very hard for us to pray for everyone on the planet, but maybe we could just think about three people that we could pray for, and or four people, and then just focus on praying for those to find Jesus. Second fishing practice is peace. I don't know whether you've ever been fishing, but often it's a pretty peaceful thing. You go by a river, and you're just there, and the water's there, and then the animals get used to you, and they start coming out and just fishing. It's just so peaceful. And we've talked about this, that that Jeremiah says to the exiles, you are to pray, you are to seek the peace of the place that you live. And so that's our calling, is to seek the peace, not just, you know, tranquility. Peace is the flourishing of the place that we live. That forgiveness seminar, by the way, is about flourishing. It's about seeing healthy relationships in action. So we're seeking the place, the peace of the place we live through that seminar. And Peter says it this way. He says, live such good lives among the pagans, among unbelievers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. And Peter says, we are to live such good lives that I believe he wants us to be attractive, so people are attracted to Jesus by the quality of our lives. But also we're to live such good lives that if people sneer at us on the day that God visits us, that will be a testimony against them. God will say to them, you saw in Daglish's life, you know, good works and good deeds that were done by Jesus, and you rejected that. And so that's part of our testimony against unbelievers. And so we are to pray, we're to have peace, we're also to be prepared. So fishermen always go prepared. They've got their fishing gear, they carry their worms. That's a picture of a man landing a fish with a net. They've got a net to land the fish. And Peter says that we're always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give an answer for the reason. Sorry, to give the reason for the hope that we have. But we are to do this with gentleness and respect. And so we are to be prepared. We're to prepare, what would we say if someone asked us, you know, I'd like to know more about what does it mean to be a Christian? Could we talk to them about it? But also I think Peter's saying we've got to have hearts that are prepared. Prepared to do it with gentleness and respect. We had a friend, Paul, that was quite funny. You know, he would share his faith, but he would get so, like, into it, he'd start shaking. It was almost like he would grab it and start, like, you know, foaming at the mouth. And we had a friend who was an atheist, and he kind of made a sport of Paul. He would say things, and he'd get Paul going. And eventually I had to say to Paul, you know, just, he's baiting you. All you have to do is give an answer that's gentle and respectful. And he learned that, and it made a massive difference. Instead of getting all worked up about trying to share his faith, he was just very calm and gentle. And so we're to do it calmly and gently. And then we are to persist. If you also go fishing, it takes a lot of patience. So sometimes you go and don't catch anything. Sometimes you catch one fish. Sometimes you catch lots of fish. And I think it's there in the Gospels. Peter says to Jesus, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we'll let our nets down again. And so in the church, we're always called to be putting out this net to catch people. I hate the word catch people, it sounds weird, but to gather people perhaps into the kingdom. And we're called to do that constantly, whether it works or not. That's our calling. Jesus says, this is the Message version, it's a blessed man if when the master shows up, he's doing his job. And Jesus is going to come back. And we're called very clearly in Matthew. The disciples say, well, what's going to be like at the end of the world? And Jesus says, well, there's going to be all these signs and wonders. And but what does he say? He says, I want you to keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel until I come back. I've read that it takes sometimes, or in our world, people are not very biblically literate anymore. It takes many, many times, 6 or more times, for them to really hear the gospel message before they'll respond. And we might pray for somebody for years and years, maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, before they finally get to hear about Jesus and respond. And so we need to be people who persist. Paul says in Romans, this is about becoming a Christian. And then he talks about sharing your faith in the same context. He says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and so this idea of lordship is not just saying Jesus is Lord, it's saying, no, actually, I'm making Jesus king of my life. He's going to be my master. I'm going to learn from him. He's going to be like my teacher. He's going to be, one word, my coach or whatever. He's going to be the one who really sort of leads and guides my life. If we declare that, and if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and it's important to believe in the resurrection because it happened, firstly. But secondly, it's important because Paul says without the resurrection, then all of Christianity is poppycock. Because if that wasn't the Jesus risen from the dead, how could he forgive you? He's dead. If there wasn't the Jesus who is alive, how could he offer you life after death? Because he's dead. How could he be your Lord? Because he's dead. But because he's alive, then we believe in our hearts and we receive that. Paul says, you will be saved. He says, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on him. For he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so this net is put wide. It's for everyone. And we're inviting everyone. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your culture is. Doesn't matter anything. You're invited to come and get to know Jesus. But he immediately goes on to talk about sharing it. So when we've received Jesus, then it's a natural thing that we want to share it with others. And so he talks about those who don't know. How then can they call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I love this. How can anyone preach unless they're sent? But we have this great commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And it doesn't say, look, ministers, go into all the world. It doesn't say, deacons, go into all the world. Generally, to all of us, it says, go into all the world. We go here into all the world. We go into Langley, we go into Egham, we go into Raysbury, we go into Southampton, we go to Barnstable. We're going to different places. We're going into all the world. And we're called, in a sense, to make this fishing net that will catch all kinds of fish. And we're called to nurture them. And we're called to leave, you know, the final judgment about who really belongs to Jesus and not to Jesus. But then Paul says, if we confess with our mouth that he's Lord, if we believe in our hearts that he's risen from the dead, then you're saved. You're part of this kingdom without end. And so let's pray, and just pray that something from this message goes with us. Lord, thank you so much for your parables. Just four verses, and yet there's so much that we can say, and so much other words in scripture that support it, enrich it, deepen our thinking. And so help us, Lord, to firstly consider, like, do I really know Jesus as Lord? Do I really believe in the resurrection? And we make sure we're believers who have called out to Jesus, who've really affirmed our faith in the resurrection. But Lord, we're also called as believers to go into all the world and to make disciples and to lead people to Jesus and to baptize them and to nurture others. And so, Lord, help us to be fishermen. Fishermen, as we've talked about, who pray. Fishermen who seek the peace, the flourishing of the places we live. Fishermen who prepared, Lord, to give an answer. Fishermen who persist, Lord, because we are following you, the Master, who's called us to go and to let down our nets and to fish. And so, Lord, take these words and strengthen us in our outreach as a church. And help us not to see just the odd person, but help us to see many people over the years coming to know you, Lord Jesus, and to follow you, we pray, through the ministry of this